welcome to the second episode of the Cyberpunk Edgerunners review miniseries, brought to you by the Musical Weed Podcast. I'm your host Rico, also known as the Musical Weed, and I hope y'all enjoyed the first episode. I'm pretty sure y'all will like this one if you enjoyed the first one. But without rambling on too much, let's get into the review. Episode 2 starts off where episode 1 left off, with David going to Doc, the Ripper Doc, to get the Sandevistan chipped in. He wants to, you know, finally get some cybernetic upgrades. At first, the Ripper Doc, he's like, nah, dog, like, for one, you can't afford me, and two, you know, your scrawny ass won't be able to handle, you know, a military-grade implant like that, you know. And David's about to walk away. He's like, all right, fine, fuck it, whatever, I'll find someone else to do it. And Doc's like, all right, man, I'll buy it, but when you come crawling back to me crying to take it out, I'll take the Sandevistan off you for free. You know, I'm not gonna pay you for it. I'm gonna get it for free if you know, if I put it in, you come crying back later to take it out. And he's like, all right. And one thing I really liked is they kind of showed how invasive and gruesome getting these cybernetic implants can be. Because in the video game, whatchamacallit, it's just like, you just go to, you know, a Ripper Doc, and it shows you a little layout, and you just, you know, swap things in. You know, there's really no animation or, you know, kind of little cinematic or cutscene showing what it's like to get an implant installed. But the anime does a really good job of showing how invasive and gruesome the process can be. It's even described in the book, in the, you know, Cyberpunk tabletop games, how invasive and expensive these procedures can be. And not only that, but also the recovery time that it is kind of needed for a player to recover from, you know, getting these implants. You know, some will take days, some, like, really, you know, intensive cybernetics will take, you know, weeks, for, you know, weeks of in-game time for players, you know, to get over it. But David, he took it like a champ. You know, I mean, granted, he's like biting on, you know, this like metal piece, you know, for dear life. Looks like he'll, you know, break his teeth, you know, trying to heal over from the pain. But by the end, he does kind of pass out from the pain. But after that, it's assumed, you know, right after that, like right after, you know, he gets the implant, because you can kind of see on the jacket that his mom had after, you know, she died. There's like blood on the back where the Sandevistan was implanted, because the Sandevistan, it's like an implant that goes like along your spine, because like it has something to do with like your neural network and stuff like that, enhancing the reflexes and speed of, you know, a person. And he goes to school to fight the bully, you know, that was, you know, picking on him and, you know, beat him up when the bully had those like kung fu cybernetic chips. And he's like, come back when you have better chrome, or like a better attitude, pretty much. And David, he came back with better chrome, because like in the middle of class, David, you know, kicks him out of his seat and, you know, throws off his jacket, and, you know, like pretty much like, square up, bro, square up. And the dude, he starts doing the whole, you know, kung fu Bruce Lee thing, the what's da da da, you know. But David, he just activates his Sandevistan, everything goes slow, looks like everything, you know, is pretty much stopped. And homeboy moves around him, gets all up in his face on the complete opposite side, then just throws a fucking haymaker at him. But because he's moving so fast, you know, the punch is, you know, like fucking, like, amplified. You know, pretty much, you know, sends the other kid flying. You know, he's bleeding from his nose and his mouth and stuff like that. And the kid's obviously crying, like, what the hell did you do? What kind of implant is that? Do you know who my dad is? He's an Arisaka executive. He's on the board of the school. You're done. But clearly David looked done. He's like, bro, I don't give a shit. Like, I mean, rightfully so, because I mean, he's, I mean, his age is never expressly, you know, said, but you can kind of infer the kid's probably like 16, 17 years old maybe, and he's already, you know, found the conviction, the resolve to go through an invasive process like getting a Sandevistan implanted, which it's later referred to in the episode, because later in the episode, you know, he fires off the Sandevistan like 8 times in one day. And when he goes back to the Ripper Doc after passing out finally, does the Ripper Doc even give him any, you know, medicine or any drugs or whatever to help with the process of the implant taking? Because even the video game, when you get your very first implant, and it's seen in the trailers too, where you get the subdermal grip in your hand and you get the Kuroshi cybernetic eyes or whatever, the doc pretty much tells you, you know, he gives you a air hypo, which is like what filled with immunoblockers, which I guess help with the subside some of the side effects of, you know, cyberpsychosis and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, take one now and take another, you know, in the hour or whatever. But David, when he got his implanted, and keep in mind it is a military grade implant, he didn't take nothing. And he was just firing off like it was nothing. Which everyone's like, yo, how the fuck can you just fire it off like nothing? You know, even like grown ass men would, you know, heal over after fucking one or two times. But you did it 8. Like, what the fuck? So it just goes to show you that, for one, David is somewhat special, because he has a naturally high tolerance for cybernetics, where most people would probably, you know, already, you know, succumb to it. David, you know, he's perfectly fine right now. And you know, he gets into the fight, and of course he's expelled from the school, because like the kid threatened, his father is part of the, he's a corporal in the Arisaka Corporation. Plus, he sits on the board for the academy. So, of course, David gets kicked out. And, you know, no prospect. He doesn't have a job. He, you know, got kicked out of school. But he does have, you know, a Sandevistan, which was his only way of kind of making some money right now if he was going to sell it off. But instead, he decided to get it chipped. And I feel like getting the Sandevistan chipped is kind of the first step in, you know, in David's, you know, mental change. It's something that, you know, that will be kind of documented throughout this series, you know, that from where David started in the first episode is different than how he is mentally by, you know, the last like 2 episodes. And I feel like getting the implant was like kind of the real start of this journey that he's on. You know, this journey to find where he really belongs and where, you know, he really feels like he's happy and where he could find the strength and the power to overcome, you know, all the shitty hands that life has dealt him, you know, from his mom dying, from them never being really in, you know, the greatest of situations or, you know, living conditions. To him, getting this implant is the first step in trying to change all that and trying to finally take a hold of his life for once. After that, he meets this girl that he ran into the street, that he ran into on the street, and he notices her again while they're on the train, and he sees that she's, you know, pick socking, which in cyberpunk world, I mean, you still have pickpockets, but also some people have these chips in the base of their neck. You know, the chips vary on, you know, what they could be. Like, for example, again, the bully had a chip in, you know, the base of his neck that was a kung fu skill chip that pretty much gave him, you know, the skills, you know, to, you know, for kung fu moves or whatever. And apparently they can fetch a pretty price on, you know, on the black market or, you know, on the underground or whatever. So he sees this girl, you know, trying to jack these chips from people. And pretty soon, she tries to get David. But David, having this Nevis thing, he's like, nope, not today. He activates it and grabs her arm. And they kind of get into it. And she's like impressed that, you know, someone built like him and someone, you know, his age is able to, you know, be able to withstand, you know, an upgrade or, yeah, cybernetic upgrade like this Nevistan. So, you know, she's interested in him. She's like, how about this? How about we work together? You know, I, you know, get the chips, you know, to come out, you grab them using your Nevistan so you can do a quick, easy out. And he's like, all right, sounds good. You know, I'm low on cash right now. And their banter back and forth is pretty funny. And, you know, it's real cute. It's like a... it kind of goes back to one of those things, like some people say, if a girl is like kind of teasing you, it means like she kind of likes you. To what degree she likes you, I mean, you just gotta let that play out, you know. But some people say, you know, if a girl, you know, pokes fun at you or, you know, messes with you, they like you on some level. And it kind of harkens back to that saying, you know, their little banter back and forth. And so, you know, they start, you know, hitting all these licks, you know, stealing all these chips from people. And when they get off at the next stop, that's when David passes out. And at first, they take David's in an ambulance, however y'all pronounce it. I call it ambulance. I've heard some people call it ambulance. It's a weird word. I'm sorry. I'm getting sidetracked. I'm sorry. But he's in the ambulance. And the chick's like checking him out, and like the paramedic is like checking him out. I'm sorry. The paramedic is, you know, running through all the diagnostics and stuff, and she's trying to ask the girl, which come to find out the girl's name is Lucy. The paramedic's asking Lucy this, like, pretty much telling her, you know, this kid's stupid. He's firing off without nothing, without taking any precautions. Like, it's like a rookie mistake. And she's asking Lucy, like, what immunoblockers is he on? And she's like, I don't know. And she's like, wait, does this kid have insurance? Which, it's still sad. It's still sad that, you know, they have to ask that. Like, no, this kid got insurance? Because in the world of cyberpunk, if you don't got insurance, they might just kick you out and leave you, you know, on the streets. Like, bro, you don't got no insurance. How are we going to get paid? Like, I'm sorry, bro. Like, you on your own type thing. But, the paramedic, realizes that the implant he has is a Nevistan, and whatchamacallit, tries to pretty much, you know, take this Nevistan for herself so she can resell it on the market or whatever. And David comes to and sees the situation and looks at Lucy like, oh, what's happening? And Lucy's like, oh, well, our agreed amount of 70-30 has to change. We're going back to 80-20. And, you know, takes out the paramedic and kicks open the door and, you know, jumps on top of David's you know, like those, you know, those beds you'll see like in hospitals or whatever, those like rolling beds or whatever. And they, you know, jumps out of the ambulance and, you know, starts, you know, rolling down the freeway and stuff, you know, dodging all these cars and stuff like that. You know, it's a wild spectacle to see, and that's another thing. Again, this anime is done by Studio Trigger, the same studio that did Kill the Kill, My Little Wedge Academia, and I believe, you know, the head of Studio Trigger, Yagura Bagan, which, you know, one thing you can't say about Trigger is they have bad animation. Because everything looks so fluid, you know, the color palette is immaculate and really, you know, screams cyberpunk, just the color palette alone. But, the animation, everything, you know, it's like butter smooth, you know, it's a real spectacle to see. So seeing them, you know, go down the freeway and stuff like that, you know, it was a really cool scene. Then that's when you get the whole scene of him waking up the docks, trying to get his immunoblockers and stuff like that. And to kind of cap off the episode, David goes back home with Lucy. And David still, like, is low-key kind of freaking out, because this is the first time he's ever, you know, been alone with a girl, you know, in her own apartment or whatever. And she takes notice, like, what, are you nervous or something? He's trying to play it off, playing all tough. Like, no, I've done this plenty of times before. Which we can tell is big bullshit. But, you know, it's funny and kind of wholesome to see that even, you know, a world like cyberpunk, you know, there's all these, you know, kind of bleak and dark messages within the cyberpunk world that, you know, that really the real rulers, you know, these corporations that, you know, have their hand in everything, and that, you know, they'll do everything in their power to keep their power and their own greed and wealth, and, you know, give little to none to, you know, the people below them, you know, and with themes of environmentalism also in point, you know, dark themes, you know, that kind of loom in the undertale of, you know, of the world of cyberpunk. It's kind of a little lighthearted to see, you know, that still things, you know, as mundane as that, as, you know, getting nervous or going over to a girl's place for the first time, you know, that kind of childish innocence of, you know, those kind of dilemmas, just opposed to, you know, these, like, existential, you know, issues that, you know, interesting and wholesome to see. But, you know, they go into the apartment and Lucy's like, here, you want a beer? Like, do you drink at all? And of course David's bullshit. Like, yeah, I drink beer before. And he tries to drink it, and, you know, he starts coughing, and like and she's, Lucy starts laughing. He's like, no, it ain't like that. It's the bubble. I don't do fizzy drinks or whatever. It's just this real tender, sweet moment seeing them kind of bond with each other. And David notices on Lucy's wall she has a poster of a space shuttle launch. And takes an interest and cracks it in the joke or whatever. Starts to tell David that she has a dream that she wants to go to the moon. Because she sees the city as, like, somewhat of a prison. And then, you know, she's an edge runner or a cyberpunk. kind of like a mercenary or whatever, so she can, you know, she's doing all these things to try and make her dream a reality, like going to see the moon, you know, getting away from the moon like that. And he says, like, I can relate, you know, that him and his mom never had anything to begin with, you know, and that, you know, he never liked going to the Arasaka Academy because he knew from day one, you know, he never belonged there. He was some young kid from San Domingo, but his mom wanted him to climb the ladder, you know, climb the Clipper ladder, become, get to the top of Arasaka Tower. But it wasn't your dream, huh? And David's like, my dream. She's like, yeah, you and your mom are two different people. That was her dream for you, but what's your dream for yourself? She told David her dream of wanting to go far away and going to the moon. And she shows David, let me show you what I mean, why I'm with you. And they enter this brain dance. They put on those virtual reality briefs and headsets and everything. They push their minds and they feel like they are on the moon. And they're on the moon, they see the sunshine, and they can see, you know, Earth. And even, like I said about environmentalism, there's kind of like a brownish tinge to the Earth. You know? And they're jumping around, zero gravity, or like, you know, low gravity. And then a song that was actually in the Cyberpunk 2077 video game, it came on in one of the radio stations, you know, starts playing, it's a, I'd rather stay at your, I want to stay at your house or whatever, and, man, this song hits, but, in the video game I first heard, I'm like, oh, this is a nice, you know, this is a cool, you know, pop song, you know, to kind of drive through the city, like listen to him while driving through Night City or whatever in the video game. But in Cyberpunk Edgerunners, the song kind of takes on another meaning. I won't say what, unless you have watched it, then you know exactly what I mean. But for the few that haven't watched it, I won't say it yet. But, because that's a whole other deep dive to get into when we get around to that, but I digress. The song starts playing, you know, it adds, you know, this kind of wondrous atmosphere to the scene, you know, seeing these two, you know, enjoying themselves, getting lost in the moment, enjoying each other's company, you know, exploring the moon, stuff like that, you know, having this real tender moment with each other. And with this song in the background, you know, it adds, you know, kind of like a warm feeling to it. You know, the scene brings me all the feels. It brings all the feels. And it really adds to the emphasis. And, you know, these two are good for each other. You know, these two are going to work good with each other. So, what degree, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But for sure, these two will be great together. You know, they're laughing. She kind of teases him by throwing one of those juice pouches that astronauts drink. And when he's drinking it, he's like, huh? And he looks at it, it says free bubbles. Because, like you said earlier, he doesn't like, he can't really drink 50 drinks like that because of the bubbles. Which is a funny quirk. You know, this boy can't, you know, activate a funny military cyberware that, you know, most grown men can't even handle. But he can do that, but he can't really handle fizzy drinks like that. Just those weird little funny quirks, you know, it gives these characters, you know, personality, makes them, you know, not so one-dimensional, you know, it makes them feel, you know, human, you know, even though, you know, they are, you know, human in the series, but it makes them feel human to us in the real world. You know, makes them really feel like living, breathing, you know, characters, real humans, by adding, you know, these weird quirks, because, you know, we as people, we all have our little weird quirks and our things that, you know, that make us us. character in life, and those kind of makes you attached to this character. Which is really impressive, considering that, again, the episode one is only 10 episodes. But the fact that we're doing this makes it, even though it's 10 episodes, if you feel attached to these characters in such a short time. Cyberpunks, real mercenary, and he's like, that's Sandy, which is, you know, the nickname for the Sandevistan, because they once, instead of saying Sandevistan every time, Bill also referred to as the Sandy, like, that Sandy chicken, oh, that was mine, and I'm gonna be taking it back. And looks over to DC, rocket ship blasting off, kind of signaling that his journey of becoming a cyberpunk is starting to lift off. That's why episode 2 ends.
Like I said, I think this is
really good. It's a good continuation of episode 1. Laying down the groundwork for David Point going on to become an edgerunner, a cyberpunk. This episode introducing the main, you know, female lead, Lucy, and showing off their dynamics with each other. And it's a really great and sweet episode. And one thing about this show that I'm gonna harp on is the music. The music is of course, they use some songs that pull from the video game, from the radio stations, whatever. It just adds the overall atmosphere of the show. And if I were to give it a rating, I would give it a 10 out of 10. I think it's really great. There was enough intrigue, you know, enough story progression to really get invested. Yeah.